Chapter 7. She was hired for life, David said, meaning for as long as she could cause any kind of stir. Make a ripple cross a room and bounce off the wall to cross back. But how long would that be? She had felt, the first night, a buzz and a whispering at the back of her neck. On the following Saturday, it was quieter. Maybe I shouldn't be riding with you, she told David, although she would have fought against giving the rides up. Won't it look funny? You and Drom bringing me here just to sit admiring you. They don't care, said David. It's like watching a magician. They would like to believe his cards really come from thin air. David had other plans in mind. Now that Evie's had worked, he had grown jittery, impatient to improve on it. He was nervous about the sheer understatement of a single dumpy girl sitting there with a beer. Shouldn't she drink too much? Cry? Send notes? But Evie said no. She walked a narrow line. It was all right to take money for lifting a scarred face toward a rock player every Saturday night, but only if what she did was real, without a single piece of play-acting. Her sitting still was real, and so was pinning her eyes on Drum. So were her scars, which turned white in time, raised and shiny, gleaming clean, even if the rest of her face became smudged in the heat. How about a new costume? David asked. Blacker and shinier, with a rhinestone necklace. No, said Evie. It was as clear a no as Drum's when he refused to stop his speaking out. David never brought the subject up again. She offered to come to the Unicorn for free. It wasn't as if she needed the money. David said, fine. But Drum, when he heard about it, said, what is she trying to do to me? She gets paid. Then she can burn it, for all I care. But she gets paid.